For January the 22nd, 2016, we talk about pre-release details for The Witness, Until Dawn, and we do a free play multiplayer. Welcome to Level 135. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jella Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Oh, how is everybody doing?
Good.
Insomniac, otherwise okay.
Yeah, we're all a little bit worse for the wear. I think it's the dark, dark nights, but...
Sleepy cast.
Yeah.
Days are getting longer, though.
This is true, and I take solace in that cosmological fact, that inevitability.
Can we like pull the Earth closer to the Sun, or get like a twin sun situation going, like on a Tatooine, so we can just have more light more often?
Well, I don't think pulling it closer would give you more light, though, right? It would just make it hotter.
Yeah, so yeah. It would just make it hotter. We could find a way to do like a rotation lock. So that the same side of the Earth is always facing the sun. But I think what that does is make one side of the Earth a desert, if sci-fi is to be believed, and the other side a horrible 365 days of nightscape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about putting like a giant mirror in space?
I think that was a minor subplot in a Futurama episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, some sci-fi doomsday device has to give me a little bit more light. No, I'll take that, please.
I think they're available for about $100 on Amazon. I like mine.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that to come up.
Hey, we have a P.O. box now.
Really?
What?
Yeah, yeah. Certain legitimate business-like practices and requirements require that I have a place for people and entities to send stuff to me that are not my actual house, where somebody can come and murder me in the night for being wrong about video games.
Yeah. The
swarm of animals wouldn't protect you, Cole?
You want to test it.
It's funny because of the cold weather, the only birds that are being drawn to my feeder are the woodpeckers who are going in for the suet.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've gotten very familiar with their call, which is just beep. It's just a single.
I pulled out smoke alarm. Made your smoke alarm.
It's just a single beep. I pull out my app, like, that can't be right, and I look up whatever that is. You know, like, okay, click on the picture of the bird, hear his call, and it's just beep. Yeah. But yeah, those woodpeckers are very satisfied with their hot chili suet. No, the swarm of animals would not protect me, so we are at P.O. Box 27105, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45227.
Yay!
Yeah.
It sounds like you were trying to memorize that, and that's part of the reason why you're saying it. Because, like, for my P.O. Box, for my art business, I know I had to sit there and, like, you know, write it down a lot before I remembered, and I still check it. I'm still like, is that the right zip code? You
know? Well, I'm looking at the receipt right now. I might end up just writing it on my whiteboard or something like that. And I might change that to street address mailing, but I think both will work. That'll be on the duckfeed.tv/contact page as well. So, you know, postcards and whatever you like. I want that to be out there as a means for people to send stuff in for the shows.
And for the Yay! Record, David and I are in the same city, so...
Yes.
You want to use Cole as a mule?
No. Well, actually, you can't be prosecuted for what people send you in the mail, because they could just pick a number at random. Yeah.
That just expands the amount of things that you can send to the protesters in, what is that, Oklahoma?
Those dipshits up in Oregon?
Oregon, there we go. It was one of those other states. I knew it wasn't Ohio.
Literally getting sent dicks.
One of those O states.
Why stick to legal things? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, so yeah, that is a cool thing that I'm excited about, even though I had to wait in line at the post office for a half hour.
Oof.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna turn this into a routine. Actually, you know what? I will. You ever get up to the front of a big long line and think about it like it's a performance? No, because you know, maybe I should open up a movie theater for all the projection I'm doing. But you know, if somebody's up there and they flub the "Oh, is your ID ready?" You think like, "Oh gosh, you just added 5 seconds to this to this," and that cascades. We're talking about minutes of inefficiency. So I'm up there. I'm Johnny on the spot. I've got my ID. I've got my renter's insurance policy. I've got all of this out. I've got a backup.
I'm not asking how they're doing because that eats up too much time.
I've got a backup form of ID. I have two forms of payment. It's all out there. It's all on the. And then it's a process getting one of these things started. So then walking in the back and, oh, wait, we're supposed to have two keys, but one key. I'm like, oh, anything that I do that is more complicated than just, can you send this letter for me, please? And getting away will cause me. So I've got people behind me thinking, this motherfucker.
Yep. I am always behind the person who has the special request, crazy random thing that's going to take 10 minutes in line. That's my curse in life.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was you today, but if it was you, I probably would have been behind you.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm the person who just registers online and takes the shit in and says, here, give me my key. Thanks. Bye.
Well, no, I registered online. Like, I had the form printed out. I had it all double checked and signed and everything, but it was still a process. Don't worry.
Okay, so it was just the general incompetence of the post office in particular that you were dealing with.
I deal with this post office a lot, and I like these people. I genuinely think they're understaffed, so I wouldn't call them incompetence. I would just say, like, they are not geared for special orders, right? They're not a Burger King, you know? Yeah. But that is my tight five on my day at the post office today.
You know, that reminds me of a game that I played that I don't know if I'll have time to talk about, but if I do, I'll talk about it.
Okay. Well, do we want
put
to?
A pin in it.
Yeah, let's put a pin in it and see if we get there. But yeah, we've got a show for you today, just like most of the others, except with one cool little twist. We have the brief coming up here right now. We also have a free play multiplayer. I always like those. And then we've got the grind, and we have some cool stuff to talk about. So let's get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Let's see here. Ben, what do you have?
Okay, so I have a couple different stories. One of which is it was written about The Witness, and it was talking about how they got a rating for Xbox One, but they had no plans to make it for it, whatever. I just wanted to bring it up because The Witness is coming out next week for PS4 and PC.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. Totally wasn't on my radar at all until I saw that article, so I'm pretty pumped about that.
I got a Facebook message from Allison like 2 weeks ago asking, hey, are you ready for The Witness? And I was like, oh, I forgot that it was coming out. I kind of thought it was like one of those things like the Steam controller that has been like just a trickle of information in the background for the entire existence of this show.
Mm-hmm. Like The Last Guardian. But yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know whether I'm going to get it on PS4 or PC yet, but yeah, that's the thing. Yep. The other story. Oh, go ahead.
Can I piggyback mine on that while we're thinking Witness?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harrison Ford, great actor.
but yeah, The Witness got priced today too, and it's coming out at a cool $40. Yeah,
it's not $60.
But it's not 20 like everybody expected and like people would have complained about. Jonathan Blow, you pretentious son of a bitch.
You have to at least think about it before you buy it then, Cole.
Well, okay, so here's the other heuristic that I have, all right? I will take as like an arbitrary increment of money. Let's say $10, all right? Mm-hmm. And then I'll take an increment of time. And I will say, for every... let's say week that the thought occurs to me that I want this thing, I'll add $10 to the mental pile. And if I want this game still after a month, I can justify the $40. If it's a bigger purchase, you adjust things around. But that's just kind of a quick little back of the envelope way to figure out and then justify spending money on a thing.
Not to beat a dead bird/cat, but if I did that for The Last Guardian, that would be a lot of money.
it would, but it's like at a certain point, it becomes a foregone conclusion. You know, this isn't an impulse buy. This is something that I've been anticipating for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I have no problem with this being $40. Like, I think it's a little bit crazy that it takes like 70 hours to speedrun. I'm kind of curious.
Wait, the speedrun?
it's supposed to be an incredibly long game. Like, oh. Jonathan Blow, the person who knows all of the solutions to all the puzzles, takes a very long time to play and beat this. I'm kind of curious if that's just marketing hype. That runs very much counter to kind of what I like in games, which is for them to be pretty short and tight. But, you know,
that means that the puzzles have like an algorithmic element that even if you know kind of the zeitgeist behind what the puzzle is about, the actual solution is something you have to come to fresh every single time.
Yeah, yeah. So if you know like the process, but you still have to run it.
Mm-hmm. That's also surprising because when he came out with Braid, he spoke about how he was very respectful of people's time with it, and that like he had no like redundancy in terms of the solutions for the puzzles. Because mm-hmm. I imagine he probably has the same thing in The Witness. So
yeah,
70 hours worth of that though is impressive.
Yeah.
Although, and couldn't you say, wasn't there the thing with the braid we had to like stand on a cloud for 30 hours to get the final puzzle piece or whatever? And so really you could just say that, you know, that adds 30 hours to the gameplay.
I think it was more like 2 hours, two or three, something like mm-hmm. that, as it slowly moved across. But that was more like along with the message of what the fuck are you doing with your life? Yeah. You know, obsession is dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, like, how do you all feel about this ostensibly indie game as anticipated and loud as it is coming out at this premium price point, for lack of a less gross word?
Well, I mean, it all comes down to the content, right? So it's, mm-hmm. if you have that mm-hmm. much hours of gameplay, I think it would be worth $60 more than $40. But yeah, I'm fine with either price.
So yeah. I somehow managed to not hear that it was expected to be $20.
That's just what people think about indie games.
That's just okay. That's just the general price point. So seeing $40 was no great shock to me. And if nothing else, he has bought enough goodwill with Braid to have me be all in on at least the next game. Mm-hmm. So I won't blink at doing this. And if, you know, if it turns out to suck, then I'll be really mad about paying $40 for the next game. But I think as long as it is anywhere in the realm of good, then I can't see getting too worked up over that.
Yeah.
I feel like more often than not, the error is in the other direction, where you'll have an indie game that costs like $20, but it's only like 2 hours worth of content. You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, what do you think, Jala?
Yes.
It's fine. $40 is fine for a product.
Well, yeah. Like, you know, if it's a thing that I want and mm-hmm. it has enough content to it, and this sounds like it does, then why am I gonna get all mad about it? Like, I don't care who produces it. If it's a thing I like and I want, then that's it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just incredibly jaded about the way people react to stuff like this, but I can already picture the comments in my head, you know, in the sections, you know, because people already think the blow is a blowhard, haha, about these individual things. And I'm not like jumping to his defense, but like, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to hearing that conversation again. About how much is too much for a game, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, I guess it's because, you know, I make part of my living as an artist. I mean, like, mm-hmm. if people value my art and they, you know, are willing to pay that, then that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm not going to buck some individual who makes something that is awesome mm-hmm. that I don't mind paying that because I value the thing that they make. Like, that doesn't change if it is a AAA company, if it is an individual indie, you know, creator, mm-hmm. whatever, you know. So that has no, you know, that even the length of the game, if I like the content of the game enough, it doesn't even matter the length of the game. Mm-hmm. So, but that's me personally.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I'm reading the comments on Polygon, but the strongest negative thing I've seen is, gotta say, this price is puzzling me. And that is the
well, it's maybe not like just the shit. To make a okay, it's not like the shit's not going to go on sale. Okay, right. Like, seriously,
PlayStation Plus, like, it's a matter of time.
Yeah,
I just hope Jonathan Blow doesn't get depressed after it comes out, because there's in the one documentary after he released Braid, he talked about how He would like try and talk to people on forums about their interpretation of the game and like try and like lead them to the right direction or whatever, and just being really depressed at the backlash from that.
Yeah. What was your other story, Ben?
The other one, this was a follow-up competing with the Payday / Goat Simulator game that was announced last week. there's going to be an Iron Maiden mobile RPG coming out this summer.
I thought that was just an unimaginative name for a thing, like literally related to the 80s metal bands Iron Maiden.
What do you mean?
The band, it's related. Is it... Does it have to do with the band that did fucking Electric Eye? Or was that Judas Priest? Fuck. Does it have to do with Iron Maiden?
The name of the game is Legacy of the Beast, and apparently you play as the Iron Maiden mascot, whose name is Eddie.
I
didn't know about any of this before reading this article, but I was equally baffled by this as I was by the Goat Simulator game last week. So,
bringing us oddities, huh? Mm-hmm. Weird. Going the way of Aerosmith and Journey.
Ben's oddities games. Does not... That doesn't sound as neato as Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah.
You know, Ben, that doesn't work. Get a new shtick that works with your name.
Oh, Ben's bizarre things.
Stop now while you're ahead. Let's move on.
I ripcorded out of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dennis, you were trying to segue.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good one. Weird games. So Phil Holmes made us aware via the Slack channel that Danganronpa, the first, Trigger Happy Havoc, is going to be available on Steam next month, which is fantastic, because that means more people will play this amazing game.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
And that means the second is probably close behind.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I will talk more about the second in a little bit. But suffice to say, I have a lot of affection for the first one. It's one of those games that just I don't even know how to say it. Surprised me and introduced me to kind of just a new almost genre. Mm-hmm. Although I'd done VLR before, yeah. But it's good to see this coming to more people. Yeah. And I'll be interested to see what that says about the second one, and then also just future games in this series. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they'll kind of iterate on it, but
I think it was implied / announced that Danganronpa 3 was coming to PC. If not PC, then to a console. So this is a good direction for them to go, seeing as the Vita is a sinking ship for new content.
Yeah, unfortunately so. But yeah. Hopefully Danganronpa will stay alive and well.
Mm-hmm. That said, I'm still going to get DR3 on the Vita because that is the way I want to play those games.
Oh, I play it exclusively on the Vita, lying in my bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my little good night routine.
Neat. And it says here, if you pre-order it, you get the soundtrack, and the soundtrack in these games is amazing.
Oh, it is really good. Yeah. I didn't see that piece, so that's awesome.
I listened to it at work. Mm-hmm. Jala, how about you?
I have two. They're very short. First off is that Leviathan Last Day of the Decade episode 5 is now out in English on Steam. So Woo-hoo! The full game is available to play. And if you didn't listen to that bonus level because you were worried about spoilers, don't worry. The interview manages to be about the devs and the game, but it doesn't wreck any of the storyline for you. So go back and listen to that if you hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, also, I helped proofread and clean up episode 4, which was translated originally by fans. So that is going to be in a future update once they need to patch that game. But right now, they're working...
It's translated by a better fan.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, they're also currently working on Leviathan the Cargo, which is the sequel that continues the story, and that starts dropping in their original language of Russian this February. I don't know what the ETA on English is, but it seems to be like a few months after the first one, after it drops in Russian is how they release it in English. So the continuation of the story will be forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that Endica 7, The Dream King, is a multiplayer Metroidvania title with single co-op and versus modes, as well as mini games. And that game happens to also have an NPC that is based on my artwork. So that's a thing.
Jawa Jawa everywhere.
This is the Knights fan art, right?
Yeah, yeah. I basically a long time ago, 4 years now, 4 years ago, there was a contest for a big Knights fan community of draw yourself as a Nightmarin. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to draw just myself. I'm going to draw myself with Knights. So I did like, mm-hmm. you know, a Nightmarin version of myself and then Knights. And because that kind of style of, you know, that aesthetic, that sentiment behind Knights is kind of similar to what the creator of Endica was wanting to do. He just like really liked that particular piece of art and then, you know, asked if he could, you know, put it in there in multiple places. So this is an NPC that shows up in multiple places in the game and says different stuff. So fully animated character versus some of the others that are just kind of like, you know, standstill NPCs. So nice.
Yep. Is that in early release right now, or is it?
I'll tell you about that in a minute. Okay, so it is an open world setting with fighting game elements and RPG elements. I don't know exactly how those work in yet because I do have a copy of it, but I haven't had a chance to play it yet. You also have familiars. Rays from Shovel Knight is also a playable character, and there are two music tracks from the composer of Secret of Mana's soundtrack.
Oh wow.
So, it currently has mixed reviews, mostly because it should have been released as an early release game, but it wasn't. And okay. It has a lot of patching to do because this is a single guy who made this game and he now has a large player base and all these people are playing it and telling him about the bugs. And he's got bunches of patches planned to fix things and, you know, balance out stuff a little bit better. But at this time, it's kind of, it should have been released as an early release, but it's, you know, like it's in the works trying to get that fixed up because it's one guy. But anyway, about that NPC though, if you want to see what that looks like versus, you know, my original artwork, you can see a side-by-side comparison on my website, which is neonskiesstudio.com, and on my Twitter and Facebook, if you follow or friend me or whatever. I will be talking about that game a little bit more once I actually get a chance to play it. Just the fact like that it has the local, it's local only co-op, unfortunately, which means I can't play it with anybody on the internet, but, you know, I do want to try out the local co-op as soon as I can, cause a Metroidvania local co-op game, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So
there was a Castlevania game that was kind of like that actually. Mm-hmm. It was, it was like Harmony of Despair or something like that. It was an Xbox Live arcade game that did that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, weird. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, I'm putting a link to your blog post into the show notes. So,
cool. There you go. You can follow the link. All because right. I don't have links for anything else otherwise. Those two announcements. Yeah. So, cool.
Is that the brief?
I think that's the brief.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, which is a free play section this time. Usually we ask you questions and you answer it and we respond, but sometimes we like to kick up our heels and turn the chair around and turn our hat around and make breakfast for dinner and sleep in and skip a class, you know, all of that by doing a free play. And boy, there's some good questions here. So let's go ahead and get started with Roop, who asks, do you have a game series that you hate for what it has become? For example, overuse of a character or just the game series changing so much that you don't recognize it anymore.
I would almost have to say Soul Calibur occupies this spot for me.
Okay.
Has there been a lot of movement on the Soul Calibur front since 4?
No, I don't think so. There was some weird like adventure game that was done. And then I think there was like some kind of mobile spinoff. I'd have to Wikipedia the exact games in the series. But it just, there were a lot of weird offshoots that happened and that was just felt super wrong to me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going into the lore. How about you, Ben?
I think I'd have to go with the Call of Duty franchise, where I was a big fan of Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, but it kind of fell apart after that. It kind of went from being really balanced and really interesting gameplay to being something that was like a hoorah, America fuck yeah sort of imperialist type gameplay. So I was kind of bummed out about that.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in with what probably is an obvious one, but Final Fantasy. And I think that specifically what it became in the PS3, 360 era and beyond. I just don't know if games at that scale and scope are sustainable now. And I also don't know that the genre is sustainable anymore. And just the notion, I don't really care about the world of 13 and the fact that everything that came out of the series was either an MMO, which I don't have time for, or it took place in that 13 world, which it just didn't get its teeth into me. It just really kind of bums me out. And I really hope that they can get it back on track with 15, which, you know, the combat in that looks pretty neat, and I like the aesthetic, or with the 7 remakes here in 4 years or whenever it comes out. But, like, just, I don't know, I feel like that series kind of just took a dip and is really emblematic of the way that stuff that flew in the PS1 generation and earlier just doesn't work now with the production values that we have.
And you know what? I was going to say Final Fantasy myself. So, yeah, you kind of jacked my answer there. But no, like, I understand that there are a lot of people who have great fondness for the later games. But again, it's kind of like what you say, like that amount of a time investment, I just don't have, you know, for a single game that I want to go through and do all that. And then too, like, let's pimp your character and put your character as a Louis Vuitton, a model, right? Like, okay.
What is it? They had the main character of the Final Fantasy Spirits Within movie pose in a bikini in Maxim, Aki Ross.
Like, yeah. What the hell with that? That's okay. Like, okay, I like the aesthetic of Final Fantasy games. Mm-hmm. I like some of the elements of the things that they do when they carry over. Okay, that's great. But, like, I just don't have a place in my life for it. You know? Like, you know? Yeah. And then, like, I hear that there's a new Final Fantasy, and I'm not excited about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
I mean, is that an example of the, like, the series hasn't changed in an appreciable way, but kind of us and the conditions of our lives have changed?
Yeah, I mean, like, in that particular case, it might be just like, I've seen this for so long, and it's, you know, more of the same kind of thing, and I've changed and it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I guess another one I guess I could throw in there is Castlevania, because, you know, like, some of the games in the later part of the series were bullshit, but, you know, like, whatever. I like Mirror of Fate anyway, so.
Yeah, the fact that they Lords of Darkness it, sorry, Dennis.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I have to agree with that. But anyway.
Yeah. Jala, what does Graham ask?
Graham asks, do you have any video game related injury stories?
Ooh.
I'll be curious to hear this. Ben is the most unhinged and angry of us. I'm going to go with you first.
The audience didn't know yet, Cole. So the two that come to mind is Smash Brothers 64. Your thumb will always be red if you go hard in that game. And leaning into the grind that happened to me this last week. Also, another one is WarioWare for the GameCube. Mm-hmm. I remember there is one mini game where it was especially helpful if you put the palm of your hand on the controller in order to move it around quickly enough. Ooh. But then after you did that for a while, you looked like you had stigmata because it started ripping apart.
That was a thing. Mario Party, they had to issue gloves. Like, there was part of a recall, and if you sent in your proof of purchase, they would give you a Nintendo 64 glove specifically because of the palm blisters people would get.
Was it like the power glove, and they're just trying to get rid of some back orders?
No, it was like a douchey fingerless affair, from what I remember. Yeah, it was specifically palm protection.
Okay.
Yeah. Jala, as the most angry and unhinged of us, how about you?
Well, okay. About the only actual injury I can think of is when I was playing so much Capcom vs. SNK2 on Dreamcast, that Dreamcast D-pad, I had a lot of sore blistery thumb issue until I developed a callus from playing so much. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the only other thing I could think of was when I had the major spinal nerve injury in my neck and I could not move my head to the side or look down or any of that. It wasn't directly related to the video games, but mm-hmm. I played a fuck ton of Skyrim and Plants vs. Zombies because I couldn't look anywhere to draw or read or do anything. So I was just playing games. So yes. Those yeah. games are related to injuries to me.
So you took it into and you turned it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I did that before too, like with that what's your twist in video games question. Yeah. So
Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so I too developed major calluses on my fingertips, though, from playing Guitar Hero 3.
Most there people you get go. Calluses from guitar.
Yeah. I got a Guitar Hero 3. So that transitioned nicely when I actually did pick up a guitar, mm-hmm. but they were like serious. It looked like I was really shredding some axe and just yeah, it was just plastic instead of real.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I could think of that's, again, this is kind of like pseudo injury related, not really an injury and not really directly related to video games, but I had poison ivy real bad, but promised my mom I would wear plastic gloves over my hand so I could hold the controller and finish, I think it was Episode 1 Racer, the Star Wars pod racing game, before nice. We had to return it to the library. So huh. That was my workaround for a video game illness, I guess.
Huh. So I'm going to go with mine. I get motion sick real easy, but that's not really an injury more than it is just a limiting factor. And there was a long time where I would sit and play games for so long that my back and legs would hurt. And that ended up being like kind of like a chronic thing. So now it's comical when I play games, and it's kind of part of why I don't stream a lot, is because I can't really sit still for that long. And huh. So I'm up and walking around and pacing, or I'm sitting on the bike and working my legs, because sitting still for too long, I do not want to usher in those kind of chronic problems again.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see here, Ben, what does the next person here say? Tanner.
Yeah. Tanner says, based on the release schedule for 2016, as we know it right now, what is one game you would pick up if you could only get one? It's a good question.
Ooh, me first.
Do it.
I think it's coming out this year anyway. Torment. when that finally drops. Fuck. It's supposed to drop this year, right?
Yeah, I think so. It got bumped.
Yeah, so just to give some reference of some of the games that are coming out, there's No Man's Sky, there's Mirror's Edge, there's Uncharted 4, there's The Witness coming out next week, there's Adrift.
Oh, you're missing the big one, man.
Which one? Last Guardian.
Yeah. No.
I will believe it when it's out.
Nope. Still missing the big one.
Yeah, still missing it.
Obvious choice. Starts with an X and rhymes with mom.
Oh, yeah.
XCOM 2. Yeah.
Yeah, that's mine.
Okay.
That's a good pick.
Huh. Well, I mean,
although I'm kind of surprised it's not Uncharted for you, Dennis.
Yeah, I guess it. Well, I was about to say, because it's not on a platform I can play it on, it's a little off my radar. But then XCOM 2 is technically coming out on PC only, so this dirty Mac heathen will have to wait his turn.
So according to the Wikipedia article that I'm looking at, it says it's coming out for Win, Max, and Linux.
What?
So, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, please be true. All at once?
I think so.
Don't know.
I'll believe it when I see it on Steam.
And because I don't know an awful lot about what's coming out this year, like I'm looking at a big article on Polygon, and it's like, oh yeah, all of this kind of, I'm just gonna say Dark Souls 3, like even if I'm just like, there's a part of me that just hungers for that in a mm-hmm. not related to my job kind of way. So
for yeah. sure. You've about hashed out all the lore from the other games, have you?
are you fucking kidding me?
Guys, is it bad as I look at this list, I honestly, for the life of me, gun to my head, cannot keep Battleborn and Overwatch straight. Like, I have no idea which game is which.
I'm sorry. All I heard was and.
Yeah, exactly. What?
Overwatch. That's that Blizzard shits, right?
Mm-hmm. Or it's Battleborn. One of the two.
Overwatch is like Blizzard's. What is it? I can't even think of the name.
Team Fortress.
Team Fortress 2. Yeah.
Then what's Battleborn? Because it's also a Team Fortress. Like, they're just mixed up in my head. Hmm. I can't tell you which is which, but that's an aside.
Yeah, I don't know. And this is not, yeah, like even the artwork for Battleborn is not doing anything for me.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's being developed by 2K Games.
And Gearbox Studios, people who did, yeah.
Dishonored 2 is technically coming out in 2016.
Oh, God damn it. That's actually something I really want. Yeah. No. Okay. So if, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If Dark Souls 3 is taken as a given because that's part of my livelihood, then let's say Dishonored.
Shit. No Man's Sky. Yep.
Dog. I don't know what No Man's Sky is.
Dishonored, damn it.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, we're going to have to split into camps again, Cole.
you're my only ally here, Jala.
Didn't even match you.
Oh, let's see here. Dennis, what does Steven say?
Steven says, what's a game that you were sure you weren't going to like, but due to some plot twist or theme veering, you actually wound up really enjoying? His example was Spec Ops The Line.
So a game that has, it appears one way outwardly, but because of a twist, it actually ends up being much deeper than you expect it to be. So something that kind of defied your expectation.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll just tell you now, I don't have one.
I'll go with Frog Fractions for mine.
That's a fucking good answer. That's a really good answer.
Minute one, I was like, I don't get it, Cole. Don't get it.
So I don't know if this is due as much to a plot twist, but the first time I saw people playing DDR, I was like, fucking nerds. Like, that's dumb. I'm not going to do that. And then someone finally, because I was at a party in high school and someone had it like hooked up in their basement, coaxed me on to the mat. And fast forward like a month and I had my own copy and was playing it in my basement. So.
Hmm. Not to keep going back to the same familiar wells here, but Alpha Protocol.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was not interested at all in a generic spy kind of narrative, and it didn't give me one of those. In fact, I bounced off of it really, really hard.
Technically, that's Dark Souls for you as well, right?
Yeah, but again, I want to go to a different well this time.
Ah, okay.
So,
what was the twist for you?
Oh, once I got beyond the Middle East. Actually, no, when I got to Taiwan. And met Stephen Heck.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right.
And I was like, oh, this is actually like a really funny and cool NPC. I didn't expect one of these because my main character is such a doofus. Yeah.
That's kind of your fault, right?
any of them. Any of them are bad.
One of three doofuses. Yeah.
Yep. One of three doofuses sharing a body.
One of three doofi.
Let's see here. Did we all answer that one? I think we did.
Yes.
Okay. Amanda asks, do you listen to the video games music or other music/podcasts when you play specific games? If so, why? And give an example. I don't quite understand what the question is. So asking, do we like to just listen to the audio track the game gives us versus seeking distraction from an outside source? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, always listening to podcasts because, you know, I like having something to occupy the verbal side of my brain. Like, I will listen to the music if it's especially arresting or if it's a scene, but I am very much the kind of person who will ride the pause and play buttons. I've talked about this before. Can't be alone with my thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. and there are games this works better with. This works great with Dark Souls. This works fantastic with open world kind of games where there's a lot of kind of like movement. But yeah, I am very much of the mind that there is a verbal and other audio track. There are two different kind of swim lanes in your brain. And I always have to have the verbal one being, occupied.
See, I'm the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I have so much anxiety about missing something in that the game is trying to give me that I'm playing that like even when I start a new mobile game, I don't like doing it with the sound off, even though I know it's completely meant to be played that way. I'll like try to find a way I can have the sound on or put in headphones until I realize, oh wait, of course it's designed to be played with the sound off and I'm not missing anything. But I always am dialed in. I think there are one or two games where I've played while listening to like a podcast or something like that. And what always happens is I'll realize I have no idea what was being talked about for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then feel like I've wasted my time on the podcast and missed out whatever the game was trying to give me. So.
Well, yeah, it's like when you start thinking about your taxes when you're reading a book.
Yes.
All right, I was just going to say Civilization's a good example of one where I can listen to anything else except for the game, and I'm fine with that, yeah. Just because there's not a lot of need to listen to the sound effects of what's going on. So.
Yeah, pretty much it's the same with me. Like, I will, by default, listen to the actual game and all of its sounds, you know, on the first playthrough, or unless it's something like when I'm grinding something out in like mm-hmm. an MMO or something, I'm doing something really repetitive that it's not giving me any new content because I'm grinding in an area, or because I've played enough of this game to understand that the audio isn't giving me any, like there's no extra information, it's just there, mm-hmm. you know, then I can turn that off and then listen to something else or talk on the phone or do whatever. Usually I do a lot of co-op, so, you know, the sound gets turned down automatically whenever I'm doing co-op. And one of my pet peeves is when I'm actually playing a game co-op for the first time and there is a cutscene or something and somebody is saying something, and then the people I'm playing with won't let me listen to it because they are talking over it. And I'm like, no, stop talking. I want to hear the thing. You know, I'm that person at least until I've seen it the first time, and then I'm okay after that. But
good question. Let's see here, Jala. What does Evan ask?
Evan asks, ice cubes or ice spheres? The truth of the matter, Evan, is I don't like ice, and I boycott it. I don't like ice. Okay. No ice for you. I don't like ice. I'm always cold. Why would you ever give me ice? That's a dumb idea.
I mean, not to like rub on your skin, but in your beverage.
Yeah, let's walk it back a little bit. How are you envisioning
puts
this
the
ice
spheres on the skin? Okay, anyway, what?
So what's
also,
the...
It should be Death Stars, not ice spheres. Come on. Like, if you're going to have a cube, something that's not a cube, like some, you know, the least amount of effort type of ice, then you might as well go whole hog and get like a fucking badass type of, you know,
I'm positive
mold for your ice cube.
I guarantee you that that is sold on ThinkGeek.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Although I have a thing that makes ice cube or ice
babies.
Spheres. Yeah. I have a thing that makes ice spheres now, and I will not go back.
Okay, so what's the ostensible benefit to ice in sphere form? Is it surface area?
That's the thing, is it has the lowest like surface area to volume ratio.
Right, because of spheres.
So I think it's the least effective then, right? At chilling your drink.
It keeps it from melting faster.
It's aesthetically pleasing to you to have a sphere that doesn't have any corners on it. So, is that it?
Here's the deal. If you're worried about whatever you're drinking getting diluted, then you should have ice stones. You know what I mean? Because it transfers cold and it doesn't dilute whatever you're drinking. If you can get it diluted, then you don't care about spheres. You want like an ice fractal that has like an infinite amount of surface area to volume, and that like will immediately dissolve in whatever drink you put.
Of course,
Ben, I love you.
ice fractals.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, but okay. So then I'll even conceding that point, I'll go to the other one, which is the audio is so much better. The little ding 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 that you get from a ice sphere in your glass is just way more aesthetically pleasing than anything you get out of an ice cube.
I've never gotten an ice sphere to turn out. I got a promotional mold from Maker's Mark, and nothing doing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. It's worth it, man. It's just a feeling. You wouldn't understand. You cubies wouldn't understand.
Cubists.
I'm anti-ice, okay?
Cubists.
Yeah. No, I've got true. I've got a rubber, like a silicone kind of mold kind of thing that makes perfectly cube ice, like perfectly cube shaped ice. None of this crescent shit. And kind of the virtue of that is it ends up actually being clear. except for the side that's exposed to the freezer. And I like a good clear piece of ice.
You can boil your water to make it clear as well.
Oh wow, that's a lot of effort. I don't like clear ice that much.
That's the cutoff.
you found the line.
You have to buy a special apparatus, but you don't like it enough to boil.
Well,
water.
No, I just have those instead of ice trays because I honestly don't use a lot of ice cubes. Refrigerate my water in a filter pitcher like a human.
Yeah, there. See. You and you people trying to heckle me about not having ice.
Also, I don't like to drink beverages with ice because most of the time I'm drinking water, I'm on a podcast.
Oh, fair.
Yeah. Let's see. We're hitting time, but we have two more before. But let's do like just let's finish out this rotation. So we have Ben with Glenn.
Glenn says, what's your favorite breakfast food? I would say sausage and biscuits and gravy. Mm. No sausage. Maybe sausage gravy, but yeah.
That's two foods, technically.
I think that... yes. So he just wants some gravy on the table.
Gotta pick one, yeah.
And see, it's a good thing that he didn't say, what's your favorite breakfast dish? Because otherwise, your waffles would come out right on the floor. You see, should have said plate. It was a trick question. but yeah, okay, so as a dish, as your let's set some limits here. You can't say a fucking grand slam here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Too so much. Where's that line though?
I think that biscuits and gravy is a unit.
Okay.
It is a unit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Even though I'm not a fan of sweet breakfasts in general, like I don't normally go in for a pancake. Why don't you just ask me like a fucking gym mat? I will say I like a good crispy light Belgian waffle with just a little bit, and I mean just like a little bit of real maple syrup.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't go in for the don't go in for whipped cream or like fruit topping or any of that. But I want just enough. Like if there's any syrup on the plate, when you're done with too much. I think you're being inefficient with your syrup use. But yes, a crispy, fluffy Belgian waffle.
Nice.
Yeah.
I once again find myself on the opposite end of the spectrum from you because if there is a limit to sweetness that I have not found it yet.
oh, wow.
Yeah. But my pancakes are always just covered in syrup, which will probably mean that you'll live longer than me, but you know, whatever.
you didn't see my face. I cringed. Oh.
Well, you know, but, it's a sometimes food. Like, who has time to make breakfast?
That's true. That is if we're doing favorite by breakfast most often consumed, it's a mm-hmm. Nutrigrain bar on the way to work. But yeah. favorite in terms of taste is actually, I would say, a granola pancake. Because you got the like pancake, you know, sweetness there. And then you've got just a little bit of texture from the oats that that makes a really good meal. So,
you know, the thing is, you're sitting here talking about you don't have time to make breakfast. And you know what I do? I just make breakfast and I put it in the fridge and I have it for a whole week. And I have a whole week's worth of food.
I don't know what's wrong
with you people.
I do that with sausage and bacon. Like, I will just, you know, you
well,
can't
see,
just
I
cook
make,
a little.
I make these wonderful herb-baked eggs, and then I also make banana protein pancakes, and I also make chocolate nut protein waffles, and they're nice. Yeah. And I can put them in the fridge, and then, like, the waffles, they're great, because you can just, you know, break them in half and put them in the toaster and warm them up that way.
Yeah.
And then put, like, a little bit of ice. And
I'm not in Cincinnati, but you should send some of those to the P.O. box.
I believe you, but there's something in my mind that tells me that just like there's a
I can have breakfast anytime I want to.
A core gut reckoning that breakfast food doesn't keep as well as other foods do.
Yeah, I agree, especially eggs. You cannot reheat eggs.
No, actually, the way that these turn out, like, they are perfectly fine. You can reheat them, and they taste great. And so, like, they're made in little ramekins. You can ask David. David has my recipe. He's made them. He likes them.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. I do that with smoothies. Like, I'll make a big old pitcher of, like, spinach and, like, blueberry smoothie, and that will last, like, 3 days.
I have a smoothie recipe book I can send you.
Oh, no, you sent it to me. We talked about it.
Oh, okay, good.
yeah, so is that everybody? Jala, have you given yours?
I've just listed several foods because I like to cook. So
there can only be one.
But you had to pick one. We all chose.
Okay, well then I guess I will just say my protein waffles. I like them.
Okay.
Yes.
And then finally, let's get Dennis with Ollie.
Yeah, Ollie asks, is there any topic or event in a game that you have played where you found it so distasteful that you just declared, I'm out and refused to play, or that you knew was in a game and refused to even begin? There are so many games that I could say that I refused to begin, but I was never really in danger of playing them in the first place.
Can you give an example of that?
Oh, Hatred, most of the Dead or Alive Extreme games, or, you know, whatever, yeah, whatever version those are. You know, there are certain tags you can put into Steam that'll bring them up real quick. it's an interesting, like, I'm trying to think of something that like I wanted to play, but felt like there was something that was keeping me from it, or that made it not worth, you know, going through.
Yeah.
Well, I can just tell you that I bounced off of Dear Esther because I was like, this guy is such a mopey sob. I'm just so irritated by this guy. And then I went back and I had to try it several times and I finally did finish it, but it didn't get any better. So like, I never did like the game anymore. I'm like, I could see somebody else liking this game, but this guy bugs me. He's so melodramatic. What's wrong with him? Ah!
Yeah.
The end.
How about you, Ben?
Yeah, so the ones that I could come up with, there's one part, speaking of Spec Ops The Line, there's one part in there that I was really unhappy that I couldn't make a choice that I wanted to make.
Oh, yeah.
I still played the rest of the game, and you know, I'm glad that I did, but I was upset about that one part. Another one is, I think, Bioshock Return to Sea.
Barely at Sea?
Yeah. That, like, towards the ending, there's a part that was very, very cringeworthy and almost made me stop playing. And then Dark Souls for the mechanics, or not the mechanics. I'm not trying to shots fired or anything, but I bounced off of that one. So
yeah,
nothing for offensive reasons, just for frustration reasons.
Yeah.
I didn't exactly bounce off of it. I just haven't gone back to play it anymore. I should just go back and just start a new game, so maybe I'll get excited, because yeah, I'm just not excited, and I want to play it.
I believe you.
I just, you know, whatever. Something new and shiny is going to catch my attention. That's what happens.
Yeah, there's new stuff every day.
And then people. I play with people a lot.
Yeah, that's, well, you can get mods to play Dark Souls with people.
That requires effort, Cole.
Oh yeah, it's like
that's too much effort. It's like those clear ice cubes. You can't have
that I love but refuse to pursue.
There you go.
You know what? There's a lot of stuff that I will engage with, and there are things that make me uncomfortable. Any notions of like sexual assault or racial insensitivity, like it's really hard for me to like look at that, especially if it's treated very flippantly. There's one game that I played to the end that it spoke to me a little too much, and that was Actual Sunlight or whatever it was. I talked about this at length like 2 or so years ago. Was that kind of visual novel slash like RPG kind of thing, a text-based thing about a guy who really, really deals with depression, or doesn't deal with depression, and the way that ends up. And there was no way to make it any better at all. And it was really just, I saw too much of myself in it. And at that time, it was like, huh, that's probably a little bit too much. And it might have been good to not look too deep into it. So I guess things dealing with like mental illness and severe melancholy and stuff like that might be something, which is weird because that's a lot of what horror is. So I don't know what the line is. Maybe it's the fantastical or the symbolic. I don't know.
Well, something that I legit actually find distasteful is Dante from Devil May Cry. I want to play that game, but I can't play it because I hate him. Hmm. So I find him distasteful, and that's why I don't play it, even though I like the mechanics.
Like all of Devil May Cry or just DMC?
No, just DMC.
Okay.
Not all of it, just that one. I don't like that one.
Well, thank you, everybody, for... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank them.
Well, thank you, everybody, for writing in with these questions. I'm going to save the remainder here. I know I've talked about doing that before, but I'm going to grab all these and put them into a database, and we're going to find a way to use every part of the buffalo here. But yeah, if you want to participate in these, whether they be free play or just a regular multiplayer, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the past week or so. Jala, since you've been away for a couple of weeks, why don't we start with you?
Oh, God. Okay. If you want to start with me, I've been playing lots of things with people, mostly. Okay. So the first thing I'll talk about is Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. It's a lot of fun.
To play and to say.
Yeah, I can't.
It's a feast
play it
for the senses.
I can't play it worth a damn because I never played arena FPSs at all until now. But imagine an arena FPS set in shifting rainbow laser tag rooms where everybody looks like Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons and pegs each other with balls to the tune of techno. Yeah. And that's what you get. I played it with Conrad and Jonathan and Michael Farmer and Joel and Sam and James, and David was going to play, our David, except that his computer was having some issues. But he'll be playing eventually, and then I'm going to recruit Ben. And soon we will take over everybody.
If this is a shooter, how much does it lean into the roller derby aspect of its title?
I don't know that roller derby has anything to do with it other than the fact that you have the wheel on the bottom of your dude. Mm.
So you're not like going around in a circle.
Well, you kind of, depending upon which mode, there's a bunch of different modes. Mm. And there's like a racing kind of mode where you have to go around. There's a kingpin mode where you've got like a powered up guy, you know, death matches, all different kinds of stuff. So
there's a Depeche mode where you get your own personal Jesus.
Yeah, you get it. So anyway, that's a thing. But I will say that because I'm in the level group, me and Sam and James and a few other people who have played have set it up where we have the level as our like clan or whatever on our back, so people can see the level logo whenever
neat.
We're in game.
Oh, nice. We have a street team.
Yeah. So anyway, but
I played laser tag over the weekend.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, I'm envious.
No, it was like a work thing, a work hangout. We went to all the single people. From work, we go hang out sometimes. And it was at a pirate themed laser tag place on the west side that was not all together there, but it was a lot of fun. And also, I was very drunk.
Cool. Drunk laser tag. That would be interesting.
Yep.
Now, did you play it exclusively with people from your work, or was it like mixed in with third graders?
Oh, no, there were a bunch of 7 year olds, but that was just chaffs. Like yeah. Think of that like the minions.
Loser targets.
Yeah, think of that like the minions or whatever from a MOBA. Yeah. But you saying laser tag. Like laser tag has come a long way since I played it when I was 12. So continue, yeah, Jala.
I haven't actually played real laser tag in forever. So I don't know. Anyway, okay, so another one I played with people, Rocket League. I don't really like Rocket League. But I play it with people, and I like the hockey version. Let me say that there's a hockey version. I like that one. But otherwise,
Hocket League.
Yeah. So anyway, I was given this game by a slacker back in October, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I played it, but I didn't like it because I didn't know what I was doing, and everybody else knew what they were doing. And so it's one of those situations. And then plus it's also versus, not co-op, so not as much my bag. And they just, you know, when they added the hockey mode, I was like, okay, I actually really enjoyed this particular mode anyway. But most of the time, people aren't playing that. Anyway, I did play for 3 hours with Jonathan, Mikhail, and Chris. And it's funny because when I play stuff like that, where it's kind of versus, there's a lot of cursing. I am not kid friendly when I'm playing something like that at all. And so like I will yell at the people on the screen, and I tend to overreact and make like a, you know, like a show of it, mostly just because it's entertaining as hell for other people when, you know, like I'm sucking and I'm like, that guy, he killed me, I'm gonna kill him. And then, like, you know, I do actually manage to play well every once in a while in the middle of everything. And then it just takes everybody by surprise and it gets funnier because of all the ludicrous stuff I'm saying. So Mikhail actually made the comment. He's like, it's actually kind of comforting to hear you yelling at the people. I'm like, okay, so my road rage makes you calm. That's good.
You're
so,
just saying
anyway,
what everyone else is thinking.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway.
You don't really swear a lot on the show.
No, I don't. I think it's my auto filter because I was a manager for so long in a lot of jobs. And so, like, I have an auto filter and I don't curse so much on the show, but I curse like a sailor when I'm playing games. If I get like, and the thing is, that's how you know I'm liking it when it's a versus game, because if I'm quiet and it's a versus game, I don't like it. Like, I'm not having fun. And if I'm just vanishing into the background and not talking, I don't like it. I don't like what's happening. I'm not having fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, but mostly I was an enforcer and ran around blowing people up or knocking the ball away from the goal or, you know, into the vicinity of the opponent's goal, because like roughly getting stuff in a direction is something I can do. So that's basically, I'm like, okay, that's something I can do in this game. So that's what I'm doing, is I'm just going to run around and fuck with people and be like a wild card doing things. And so, like, that's how I play that game, is just, you know, like, whatever. There is actually, at PAX South, there's going to be a Rocket League tournament, and I am sure as shit not going to enter, but I will go and take a look at it and
I
stare at it for a minute,
really?
And shake my head and then go, I don't know, and then just go away. But
yeah, I think that's the reaction I would have, because I have no experience with the game. But like, I think I would like to see someone who really knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of apply their craft, especially in a team format. I've watched a couple of videos where it's like one-on-ones with really competent people, and it's just, it's something that is awful in the sense of the word, that it inspires incredible amounts of awe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess in my awesome. Case... It, yeah, in my case, I'm just like an agent of chaos, and I just, you know, show up and you know, foil everybody's plans in one way or the other. So sometimes good and sometimes not good, depends on the situation. But I'm getting a little bit better at it, but I don't really play it all that much. But there is a very large, enthusiastic following of Rocket League amongst all of the fans that are on the Slack. So I'm sure I will end up playing more of it, and eventually I might actually like it, but... At this moment in time, I'm just more like, I'm not even going to pretend to even try to learn the game. I'm just zooming around doing stuff. The end. So, I played that, and I also played another game called Mischief 2 Couple. I was told about this free mobile game by James Robinson. So this is a game that is stupid. But it's weird enough that I had to play it all the way to the end. So you're a lonely, introverted, and bitter Japanese man who wants to make all the happy couples he sees disappear because he's mad he's alone. And so an old wizard guy shows up and gives you the power to wreck their day. And so there's 10 stages of jacking with people after this. Like, an example, a couple is flirting in, you know, the guy's bedroom, and then you use magic to summon mom to break them up. And then, like, a couple is flirting at the zoo, and you use magic to cause a gorilla to fling shit at them. Like, it's just, you know, you see the situation, you see it play out, and then you see the guy talking to the wizard and going, you know, like, oh, well, I think these people are so disgusting. Let's wreck their day. And then, of course, it's made by a Japanese guy, who apparently didn't have anybody translate for him. So the English is rough, which makes it better. So, like, the gameplay itself is super tedious, because all you do is tap on the happy couples to make them disappear into a black vortex of death. And then you get combos for hitting a bunch of them when they group together. And other than that, you have to wait, tap a button over and over again repetitively to get more couples to show up, or watch an ad. So it's really, really tedious and boring to actually play through. But the actual content made me laugh out loud to the point that I was crying at parts.
So is it just a button that you press to see in amusing situations?
More or less, you just push buttons and then eventually you see situations. But whatever. So anyway,
I mean,
that's
it still counts as a game.
It still counts as a game.
There's nothing in the rule book that says.
Yeah.
Because like the way that you pitched this initially made it sound like McPixel meets Ghost Trick plus the inverse of a dating sim.
Well, I mean, like, if it had an actual interesting gameplay mechanic to it, mm-hmm. or even if it was a visual novel or adventure game visual novel crossover or something, mm-hmm. this could have been a really, really awesome thing. But instead, it ended up being a very terrible mobile app that was just funny enough to make me keep messing with it until I finally finished it.
Wow.
But it's really wacky, and like if you're curious, just go download it because it's free and just play through the first scenario. That's all. Like the first scenario doesn't require much effort at all. So, you know.
Is this iOS?
This is iOS and Android.
Okay.
So. Huh. So anyway, that's the thing I did. and then I will only talk about one more because I have a backlog of stuff to talk about on the show because I play games and then I'm not on all the time. So okay, so I played Injustice: Gods Among Us. So I both bought and received several games that I've been wanting to play on account of the winter sale, but following my usual predictable in that I consistently do it, but unpredictable in that nobody, including me, knows what I will actually play, pattern, rather than playing one of the things that I got for Christmas, I played this game because it was in my list and that was it. So, the selection this time was actually due to Stephen V. He posted an image on Facebook that read, "You wake up a Superman, what do?" with a reaction of "Go back to sleep and hope to wake up next time as Batman" underneath it. And like, while all the long-running Marvel and DC superheroes have many faces, from, you know, goofy golden age to their emo or hardcore or neurotic phases, since Frank Miller, Batman has been more or less neurotic, so my preference is actually for Superman. Hmm. And although I, like, replied to that on there, you know, like, that made me play Injustice. So
that you could beat up Batman as Superman.
Yeah, there you go. Although most of the time it's everybody hating on Superman because, you know, whatever. It plays okay. It's not my favorite fighting game mechanics ever, but they're solid enough.
It's Mortal Kombat, but with recognizable characters.
Yeah, and the tutorials seem to go on forever and ever, and the move sets are just simplified button presses, you know, or like two directional motions with a button, and none of that is really all that engaging to me. That's not what makes a fighting game something that has a high replay value for me. So there's the fact that there's no mechanical difference in the way any of the characters play or any of that, like, it doesn't really catch my attention for that. It's more or less like I'm suffering through these kind of fighting parts so I can watch the rest of the movie, basically. So
did you have you have any favorite characters to play as in the game?
Not really. I mean, like, they're all like, some things made me chuckle, like when you do Batman Super and then, like, you know, he does all this stuff and then, you know, like he flips over the Batmobile that runs over your opponent and stuff. That's funny. It made me laugh the first time I saw it, but then I'm just like, okay, whatever. And I just got over it. So, no, I wasn't really, like, all that excited. I the story is fairly entertaining, like, entertaining enough that I wanted to play through the game, but it's really nothing groundbreaking because, what? You mean Superman lost his shit and Batman has to pull the JLA to fix it, you know, before the world is wrecked? No! We've never seen that happen before, you know? Whatever. Although there are some parts that made me laugh, like, there's a part where Catwoman says, "What's that?" And then Cyborg says, "It's the none of your damn business alarm." Like, that stupid stuff like that.
That's really dumb.
I know.
Late night in the writer's room.
I know, but that it's because it was so bad that I was just like, all right, okay, you got me. I laughed at that.
It's so stupid.
So yeah, it's so stupid I have to laugh at it. Yeah. So anyway, overall, I did enjoy it because, like, it wasn't, like, grueling. The parts of the game where I was fighting weren't grueling or anything, but they weren't super exciting or made me feel like, yeah, I really know what the hell I'm doing in this game, or I feel that there's some kind of skill involved in this whatsoever. No, not really.
Sounds really mindless. So,
yeah, it, is pretty mindless. So overall, like, I'm not going to replay the story mode, and I will probably play versus battles just a little bit, just so I can play some of the characters that I didn't get to play in the campaign story part. But, you know, like, overall, I was just kind of like, it's all right. So, but I did finish it anyway. So I did do that.
Nice.
I don't think we have any more time for me to talk about anything else otherwise.
Have you gone in? That game has a shitload of DLC, right? Is there a particular character that is not part of the base that you're like super into getting, you know, a storyline from?
Not really. Because like it's not like the gameplay is not interesting enough for me to just be like, oh man, I gotta go back in there and play more. Like, yeah. I played it Injustice, I think, right at the turn of the year, and I haven't gone back to it to play that versus mode and try out, like, Hot Girl or some of the other characters that I didn't play as at any point during the game. I haven't gone back to play them.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's still installed. I don't know when I'm going to get back to it, but it's there. I don't know. So, I don't really have a lot of steam built up or excitement to you know, like I sat down and I played it in an afternoon and I beat it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done now. So.
Dennis, I want to hear about Danganronpa 2.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not far enough into it to have a lot to say yet. So started it. I've gotten to the point where I've met all the characters. And when I literally had to stop playing because I had to leave for work. But I got the ding dong bing bong, which in the previous game always meant that Monokuma was about to show up and start talking to us. And that's the point that I'm at.
Oh wow. So you're still in that first classroom. It hasn't
I'm sorry. I've gotten past the first classroom to the island, met all the characters on the island, and now it's like, you know, I've talked to everyone, so the plot is about to advance. Nice. So nothing's happened yet. and it's left me in a really weird place in relation to the game, because I've had enough time, like I said, to meet each of these characters and get just like a first brush with them, but not enough time to get any nuance. And so my brain has just sorted them all into the archetypes from the first game.
Yep. Right?
Like, oh, you are Hina from the first game, or, you know, you are Heifume from the first game. And you can kind of, in most cases, place them that way. Mm-hmm. My opinion of the game is high enough that I expect them to kind of play on that or to mix it up in interesting ways. But for right now, all I've got is just that first impression, oh, you're X from Y, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, funny enough, it's a hopeful place for to be in that it's like, okay, I expect interesting things to happen, but so far it feels kind of cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one returning character, which, what the hell? Byakuya. Like, what the actual hell?
Yep, that caught me off guard too.
I went through several stages realizing that, because it was like,
oh, he looks like Byakuya, doesn't he?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a fat version of Byakuya. And then it's like, oh, they reused the same voice actor. Oh, wait, the title card actually says Byakuya. What the hell? So for people not familiar with the game, it's a very prominent character from the last game.
It's the only returning character.
Yeah, only returning character, except he's fat. And he was super skinny in the first game, super fat in the second game. So yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah,
which, you know, I'm sure. Again, just, I talked about the last game where I had lowered my expectations because it was a video game, and the writing just very consistently delivered very high above those expectations. So I think I trust the team now to actually do something interesting with that, and that they've got a direction for it, and it's not just like laziness or fan service or what have you. Like I have a lot of trust that this is going in a really good direction.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten enough depth to see anything to confirm that.
It's a weird spot to be in too, because I mean, you didn't do like I did and go right from one to two.
Yeah. I had a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah. You had a couple of months, but even still, there's that awkward, like, first fifth of the game where you're looking at this thinking like, man, I really liked the first game and the characters that were in this, and I'm not sure if these guys, you're sizing them up. You're not sure if they're going to be good replacements for those. Like, man, where's Aoi? Like, I want her back. Where's Aoi at?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of like, what I loved about the first game is that it was so novel and so unique. And I hate that my mind is just automatically trying to categorize the second game into all the boxes that the first game laid out.
Yeah.
It's Dennis, like, no, I just... Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, is there like a set amount of time that they lay out as, you know, this is how long it's been since the first game?
Not yet. Okay. Although it has to be in the same universe, right? Because Byakuya is there, so...
I was going to say, you can measure it in pounds.
Assuming that he was skinny and then got fat rather than fat and then got skinny, but then he wouldn't have mentioned anything about it in the second game. But there is this whole thing where a bunch of people lose their memories, so that's possible. I have no idea.
Yeah.
that whole sequence right there was just great. Yeah.
and I can't say anything, but I can say like, you know, they use it to good effect to make everything seem distasteful to you.
Okay,
like what they're leaning into, like that feeling with him, like that is a huge part of the way they play off of Danganronpa 1 with this, by making it kind of more complicated, and gross is the wrong word because it's going to make it sound like there's a lot of violence and sex and stuff, but like it's just more, it's going to hit you in a sensitive place if you cared about the world and the characters from the first one.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So yeah, that's all very interesting. They also, the one other significant addition is there's now a Tamagotchi pet that's kind of baked into your menu system. Mm-hmm. And I'll be damned if I am not determined to level this thing all the way up.
Wow.
The problem, and Cole knows where I'm headed with this, the way you level it up is by actually walking around the world, mm-hmm. and fast traveling from place to place does not count towards your pet's level.
Oh.
I was like, you're going to wallow in your shit, man. I'm so sorry. We have important stuff to do. We're going to die on this tropical paradise.
That's right. You're going to walk around aimlessly to everywhere. And it's like, you know, I was entirely dependent on fast travel in the first game, because at some point you're just kind of warping around from interesting place to interesting place. And it's a godsend, right? Because I talked about with Freedom Wars how annoying it can be when you don't have that. Mm-hmm. And yet they have found a way with a simple pixelated rabbit to make me want to walk around. So I'm sure I will reach a breaking point. I'm sure I will abandon this thing to die. That probably will fit into the game's theming really incredibly well. As I say that, I'm realizing this, and that's freaking brilliant. But man, it's just really funny that they would tie something like that to walking around the world. Hmm. But yeah, that's Danganronpa 2, all of like a half hour of it. So I'm really excited. Love the first game and can't wait to get into that. But I've been playing lots of other stuff too.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I've been playing is a board game.
Okay.
So Ben, you'll have to tell me, or anyone technically. Have you guys heard of Forbidden Island?
No.
I think so. Where you like have to build a thing to get out of the island?
Kind of. You have to collect treasures and then escape on a helicopter.
Okay. I played Forbidden Desert, which was the sequel to Forbidden Island.
Yeah. I've seen both of those on a shelf at the toy store here down the street from my house. So.
Yeah. So it's a fantastic game. Played it with four people, and it's a co-op game that you're on this Forbidden Island. The cards, so the island is just a grid of cards, right? And you play the cards randomly to build the board at the beginning of each game. So it's the same components, but the way they're laid out will be completely different every time. And you kind of have the starting points, the ending point, and then like the collection points. And those are all just kind of scattered in a random order at the beginning of the game every single time you play. And the big twist is that the island is sinking, so you need to grab the treasure and get to the extraction point before everything sinks. So the way that works is, every person plays a character that has some special abilities, but you eventually will have to draw cards that sink parts of the island. and it can sync once, and then you actually you can shore it up, which is the main mechanic of the game, is trying to flip these pieces back over so that they stay shored up. But if it sinks twice without being shored up, it's gone forever, and you can't move on that part of the island anymore. It's just gone. And so it's this race to get to all the places you need, to collect all the items you need, and then get to the right, everyone to the right point without, you know, having something important sink, or, you know, having your exit point especially destroyed. And it's really fun. It encouraged a lot of great team discussion. Like, you find yourself less playing your individual character and more kind of putting your foreheads together to figure out how everyone can work optimally, which is a lot of fun. We beat it once on the normal mode, and then we cranked the difficulty up to the second highest, which essentially it's how many pieces of the island you have to sink every turn goes up. And we lost on that one, but it was a lot of fun, and we lost like just barely, which was a really fun and satisfying experience. So the thing to top all this off is the game cost $13.
Yes. Cool.
So which is ridiculous.
This is the board game version of it, or was it a digital version of it?
No, this is the board game.
Wow, okay, that's cool. Very reasonable for a board game.
That is like incredibly mind-blowingly reasonable. I'll be picking it up absolutely myself. I really liked it. It's Forbidden Island, which sounds like an offshoot of The Bachelor or something. But it's a really solid co-op board game.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then final one, just really quickly, I had a friend talk me into trying Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, which is...
That sounds like some free-to-play bullshit.
It is exactly that. So, the actual game is kind of like the, you know, a Final Fantasy active time battle. You kind of pick your characters, and then it warps them in, and everyone's got a, you know, gauge that fills up, and you choose what their action is on their turn, try to beat the other guys. So it functions really well as just a light game. You can play around in, you know, a minute, and no problem. The problem is that, like you said, it is some free-to-play bullshit. There is, and I counted before I started the show, 7 currencies. 7 different currencies.
That's you have to be shitting me. That can't be real.
Credits will not be fine.
I double counted to be sure. 7, and I have not even unlocked all the different mode types. So I imagine that there will be different energy types and different credit types that go along with all the different modes that I have yet to unlock.
Yeah.
So it is free to play BS of the worst order.
Wow.
But the game under it is a nice little distraction that fills that niche where I don't have time for a full round of Hearthstone, but I still need a little bit of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I've messed with that. The thing that I haven't gotten to a point where it's like you have to invest money to keep on playing. So thankfully it's not that bad. But the thing that I find myself doing way more than the actual battles, I would say, you know, probably like 70% of my time, 30% of my time on battles, and 70% of my time is on shopping, which is like finding different upgrades for the different characters and leveling them up and kind of doing that whole dance. Is where I found myself spending the most of my time. So it's like gamer shopping in an app, which, you know, I'll take it for what it is. I have a couple friends playing it, so it's nice to, you know, interact with them about the game. But man, 7 currencies is just intolerable.
Yeah, they're just trying to like, they might as well like spin you around and then, like, just like tape all of your money like to your coat, and then whoever you run into can just take some money off of you. Like,
but it's even worse than that, because it's got the whole like, hey, if you complete all these challenges in a day, you get, you know, all this bonuses, but you have to complete them all in a day. And I have to resist the pull of like, oh, I'm only 6 battles away from, you know, having all my stuff cashed in and optimizing the amount of, you know, free to play stuff I can get. So, you know, that's something I've caught myself doing and be like, whoa, put the game down. But it's, like I said, it's as a little diversion that I can play as I'm waiting for my lunch to warm up in the microwave. This is perfect. Hearthstone goes on a little too long for that. You need like 10 minutes to play. So this one fits well in two.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, not awesome. Like it's good that it fits in there. Like I had like a goldfish moment there where I only heard the last like 5 seconds of what you said. It's like, it's cool that it fits in. I'm sad that it's feeding some kind of machine.
Well, it is Disney / Lucasfilm.
Well, I mean, it is, but also, like, you know that you're generating user data for them to more effectively market to people like you.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, I don't have time for that bullshit, because I know even just playing, there's so many fucking trackers on everything that you do that you're still giving them some kind of advantage. You're still paying them by showing them your patterns.
Yeah, well, my pattern is I'm grinding away to get myself an Admiral Akbar character.
Okay.
I have no idea what the character was. Yeah.
Now that you've said this, this audio data will get hoovered up. It'll pass through some kind of Amazon EC2 node. They're going to text. They're going to speech to text it. They're going to say, ooh, user number 14624 just wants Admiral Akbar. Let's offer him a 25% discount on that. Yeah. Except it's in one currency over another. We're going to confuse him. And then all of a sudden, his kid's not going to college.
Well, that's not happening anyway. College is not going to be a thing in 18 years.
No.
But anyway, so where was I going with that? I just
college is a hoax and nobody should learn anything.
College is like a free-to-play game. No, I completely agree. But, you know, I'm enjoying it despite that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me.
As long as you're having fun.
That's right. And when I'm broke and wondering where it all went wrong, you can just point me to this episode.
I'll just spray paint 135 on the barrel that you wear.
I thought when you said barrel, 135, like the barrel that you put up to your head.
Yeah, you went darker, and usually,
yeah.
It's funny when you go darker than me.
Yeah.
Anything else, Dennis?
No, those are my big ones.
Okay, Ben, how about you?
Okay, so I got a couple. I also picked up Rocket League this week, so I've been playing that. I played it until 4 in the morning over the weekend because I had a long weekend. Pretty
so you
Rocket.
Like it.
I really like it. I think it's like as good of a multiplayer as like the Halo games and Call of Duty games right now. I might be in like a honeymoon phase, but I mean, it's really bite size, and it encourages pretty good teamwork. So I think it works best when you are able to talk with people and kind of coordinate what you're doing. And I think I mentioned that before on an earlier podcast when I played this before. But yeah, it holds up. So I've enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I think we've already covered most of it. So are there any questions about it? Or
are you playing this local, or are you playing this online?
I'm playing it online. I'm playing it through Steam. So, yeah.
I guess all my questions are kind of related to how are you liking the PC gaming experience so far?
You know, I'm still only 2 weeks in, so I still don't. I'm just getting my feet wet, so we'll see. There's a lot. Oh yeah, this was something I noticed. Compared to console, there's a lot more like typing hateful messages on the PC version of Rocket League, since it's a lot easier to do.
So the chat's just a cesspit?
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, but that's okay. It's not a big deal. Typically, the way I'll play it is I'll do audio through Skype and then just play on the game. So typically I'll have like the computer volume turned down. And so that way I won't even hear like group chat or like what, you know, like the other people are saying. So
yeah, the back channel. Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't get in the way too much, but yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. I'm slowly improving some of the technique, but it's impressive what some people can do in the game.
So Jala explained the role that she kind of naturally fell into as kind of the what'd you say? You had a really good word for it, like the marshal.
Chaotic neutral.
in hockey, they would have called it the monster.
Yeah. Well, the way that I was coined by Mikhail and Jonathan was as the enforcer. So.
Okay, yeah. Like, what role do you find yourself kind of falling into, Ben?
The main strategy I try and stick to is just always keep one person by the goal. And so I mostly played 2-on-2 matches over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing was just coordinating with the person, like, okay, you go back and I'll try and dribble this. If we make a cross, which is like if you, so the entire map's like curved, so the ball that's rolling around can kind of ride up the wall, or it can bounce off a wall or something like that. So one of the strategies is just run it along the sidelines, and it'll just curve around, and it'll curve in front of the goal and go past it.
Oh, it'll bank, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the strategies is have one person just run it up the sidelines, have it curve around, and then another person goes straight up the middle and then just knock it into the goal when it passes in front of it. So a lot of times what we'll do is you'll have one person stay back, the other person will try and ride it up the sidelines. If it looks successful, then the other person comes out of pocket and then tries to knock it into the goal. But so I would say that I kind of stick to that strategy, so I'll be in either position depending upon how the game's going. So, yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. If anyone listening plays, send out a message. I think people who listen are playing this together.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
And yeah. And by the way,
I'm doing it right now.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't worry. I just remember the message you sent me, Jalo. I'm making a Rocket League channel on Slack.
That was a thing. Like, Gary was debating if we should do like a separate channel or not. But anyway, Ben, we will have to play because I don't know how to play, and you should tell me how to play, or at least laugh at me. Or you can at least laugh at me when I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, and just leave me alone and let me do whatever I'm doing and deal with it. You know, until you don't want to anymore, and then I'll go away.
Yeah, I want to play some like 4-on-4 matches since I've only done like 2-on-2. So I would love to get a big game going.
4-on-4 is pretty much how most of the people in the Slack will set their matches up that I've seen anyway. There's a lot of 4-on-4. So
cool.
So yeah. No, I'm to clarify my earlier talk about it. It's not that I hate the game. It plays well enough. It's just it's not generally something that I play, but it's also not something that I intuitively get very easily. So I'm just kind of more of a wild card because I also get bored doing the same thing too much. So I can't just be like, I'm going to be defending the goal all the time, or I'm going to be, I'm better if I'm just wandering around doing something else, So
it's amazing. Like the amount of euphoria you get when you like go speeding into a ball and are able to hit it before anyone else can. It's, I don't know. It's something that doesn't sound fun when you describe it, but there's a huge payoff there, but yeah.
I will hold off on making the channel until I talk with Gary, cause I did not see his thoughts on that.
Yeah, there was a bunch of chit-chat about it.
Okay. So. Ben, what else have you been playing?
All right, so I got a couple other bite-sized ones. I've played a little bit more Broken Age, but not too much more, maybe like a half an hour, an hour or so. It's fun. I don't know if I'll make it to the end or not. I don't know if I'm a huge point-and-click adventure guy. So the only thing, I mean, the humor and the charm are definitely there. The only thing I don't like is it kind of feels mindless, where it's like, okay, I'm going to walk to each possible screen that I can, and I'm going to talk to each person, every possible branch that I can, and then I will progress the story. You know, like, so that part gets a little bit tedious, but I mean, it's definitely a very charming game right now. So that's kind of on pause, I guess.
My understanding is, and I know the whole it gets better later thing doesn't really work with video games, it's a very bad defense, my understanding is that it changes halfway through because they course correct on some of the kind of old school adventure game stuff between chapter 1 and 2 because they were developed at different times.
I haven't
played it, so I don't know.
I had heard the opposite, that it gets worse in the second half, but that was via a stray Reddit comment. So that could, there's no credibility behind that. So who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know who you should trust because I have not played it and that person might have. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll probably play a little bit here and there. So we'll see. Yeah. Other game that I played is Civilization V. I picked up.
Did you grab that Firaxis bundle that came out?
I did not.
Check that out on Humble. It's it's a whole bunch of Firaxis stuff, but you probably already have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will check that out then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this was kind of a long time coming since I had played Civ Red, but I never played any of the Civ proper. So I only went through maybe about half to a round of the game, and I was playing on the quickest pace possible, just because I kind of wanted to get a feel for the game and how it was different from Civ Rev. And so it was mostly just kind of learning the different mechanics of kind of cities and how they expand and grow and kind of how they get their income. The economy is a little bit different than what it is in Civ Rev, and some of the mechanics are a little bit different.
More complicated, right?
Yeah, it's slightly more complicated. The defense mechanics is kind of interesting, where it's like if someone gets close enough to your base, you can shoot arrows at them or trebuchets until they die. So that's kind of different. But that's kind of nice because it prevents, like in Civ Rev, you basically keep your base defended, but you'll get a bunch of people like standing on all the spots around your city attacking you every turn. But if you have a defensive guy, they won't be able to take it over. And so it's kind of like a stalemate until you get your tech up and then you attack him. But in this, it's not the case. It's slightly different. Here it seems, and then city states is a concept in the game that isn't in Civ Rev, where you have
an expansion, right?
In Civ Rev?
In Civ 5.
I think it's in the base game, because I think I just picked up the base game, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it's basically like neutral territories that you can kind of get buddy-buddy with if you do missions for them, like kill barbarians or give them some sort of good or something like that. So it's kind of like an ally instead of everybody being your enemy. So it's kind of interesting. And the diplomacy seems to be more of a factor in this game than it is in Civ Rev. So you kind of, it seems like you have to, one of the nice things is in Civ Rev is everyone's like against you pretty immediately. And so like, maybe 10 minutes into the game, you're enemies with everyone and they're trying to jack your stuff. But in here, it seems like they're much more hesitant to declare war. It's like more of a slow burn coming. And so that was kind of an interesting mechanic. But yeah. All right. And then I got one more game, if there's no more questions on that. And all right. The final game that I got is I picked up Until Dawn.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I kind of was jonesing for a choose-your-own-adventure type thing, maybe coming off of Life is Strange, but this looked interesting. I read some reviews of it, and I know a lot of people were kind of critical about it. I think the main criticism was that there was like an illusion of choice, and it's kind of a game on rails. But I mean, I feel like that's kind of an invalid criticism, because it's similar to like what Heavy Rain is, but it was still like a really good experience the first time through, so I figured I'd take the plunge and play it. And so I'm only like maybe 2 or 3 hours in, but I'm enjoying it a whole lot so far. It's, I mean, there's trope after trope in the game. It's like pretty silly. the amount of horror devices that they like cram into a single game.
That's funny. I can hear you attempting to avoid using the word cliche.
Somewhat. I don't know. I don't want to be too critical about it, because it at the end of the day, it is a pretty fun experience right now. I'm probably going to only play through the game once, though, because I don't want to, because I did this with Heavy Rain too. So I went back and played that game, and I was kind of, I had a disappointed feeling when like most of the things that you think there's a choice, there's not really a choice. It's kind of a bummer. So I don't want to do that with this game. So I'm probably just going to do a one shot, but, I don't know how much to say about it. Basically, the premise is you play as 8 different people. They're up in a cabin in the middle of the woods. I'll go across some of the tropes that are there. There's a Ouija board in the game. There's somebody who broke out of a local prison and may or may not be wandering around. There's ghosts. There's villains dressed up in costumes. There's a lot of archetypes being jammed into one movie or one video game.
That's a funny slip.
Exactly, because it's a very cinematic experience. One thing that's kind of interesting is like I know a lot of the reviews said that the characters are pretty differentiated, and like there was like the jock or the nerd and stuff like that, but they're pretty much very similar, which it was like there's a lot of jocks and there's a lot of like pretty girls, and so like, which is fine because it's like taking off of a horror movie, and that's kind of how horror movies are. But I was like surprised when I was like watching some of the character interviews, and someone was like, "Oh yeah, I'm the nerdy character," and it's like, in no way is he like a nerd. You know, it's like he has a fauxhawk. So it's weird, but it makes sense that they would all be friends, because it feels like they're all kind of in the same. They would all be on the same like football team in high school sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. That was kind of interesting how little diversity there was amongst the group. But apparently they tried to make them different.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe as the game progresses, their personalities will become more differentiated. But yeah.
So I've heard a lot about the kind of choose your own adventure cinematic Heavy Rain style of this game, and how does it articulate like from moment to moment? Because like are you moving your characters around? Are you switching? Are you switching between them at will? Is the game determining who you're making decisions for? Is this quick time events? Like explain kind of like the flow of a scene for me.
So it's very akin to Heavy Rain. So they will set up a scene and they choose which character you're playing as. One thing that's interesting is sometimes if you're in a given scene, you might switch back and forth between people in the same scene. And so you'll make a choice as one character, and it'll switch over to another person. You'll make choices as them, and then it'll continue on. There are quick time events where appropriate. Again, similar to Heavy Rain, you know, like sometimes the narrative will just push you into like, oh, you need to run now, or, you know, like you need to fight or you need to shoot something. Mm-hmm. But those are the main quick time events is button pressing. And then the interesting one that I hadn't seen done too much before is like giving you a timed target to shoot at. And so it'll give you a countdown timer and there will be a target somewhere on the map and you just have to move your cursor to get there quickly enough and fire off a shot for a given thing. The one thing I really liked about it is they do a good job of preparing you for all the mechanics in low stress situations first before the stakes get raised. Because one of the selling points of the game is like all the characters can die or all of them can live. And so they do a good job of making sure that you know the mechanics inside and out before something's on the line, like a character's life. So that was good. What else? There's also, hopefully this isn't spoiling too much, but there's also these great intermissions between chapters that's very similar to Silent Hill Shatter's Memories, where you play a character, you don't know who, talking to a psychiatrist, perhaps, like somebody who's giving you feedback on your play style.
Oh, wow.
And then he'll ask you questions about, you know, like what you're feeling about the game. And then that'll kind of change elements in the game as you progress.
Oh, that's baller.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool system. So I was pretty happy about that. That was pretty fun.
You're making me want to play this game, Ben. I have it. It's right on my mantle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, pop it in, dude.
Not that simple.
That's right. Make a new podcast about this game and then play this game. I mean, it's worth checking out. I think if you like that sort of genre, I think you'd be fine waiting for it to go on sale. I don't think it's like a need to play now sort of thing, but but yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it so far, so
that's great.
Yeah,
nice. Did you have anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. I'm going to go very briefly here. I feel comfortable talking about the Magic Circle now. I haven't beaten it by any stretch of the imagination, but I played enough to kind of get a sense of the feel. So this is a game that I think when you first play it, it can come across as a little bit of a walking simulator, but there's a lot more to it. Like, okay, so it's a first-person exploration game. That I think is most notable on its surface because James Urbaniak from the Venture Brothers, who plays Dr. Venture, is kind of one of the characters, one of the main. I can't tell if he's an antagonist yet, but the idea is you are running around in this game that is incomplete. It is this game that is in development hell. And as you're going through it, you eventually kind of break through the cracks and you start exploring, what this game kind of used to be like throughout its entire history up until the point where it's at right now, which is still unreleasable. So you kind of start out in this faux fantasy kind of thing, but it's all kind of like developer art that kind of gives way to this Unity, kind of sketch shaded kind of I think like Unfinished Swan almost look as you're walking around in first person, and kind of getting like limited splashes of color depending on what you interact with. But you're kind of hearing this developer, Ishmael, who's voiced by Dr. Venture, which is super distracting. he's great. I love this actor. It really does work, but it is totally Dr. Venture talking about designing a failed video game. And his kind of colleagues at this studio, somebody who desperately wants to get fired, and this fan that he hired to be like his intern, who is really way too devoted, and is steering the direction of things in a kind of malicious way. And you're kind of seeing their like camera avatars floating around as they argue about the way things go. And there's this kind of force, this kind of intelligence that may or may not be another playtester who is kind of baked into the game, who has been there since the beginning, who is like walking you through and encouraging you to kind of like to break this thing because nobody will finish it. And kind of the whole thing, you know, it all goes back to circles and like a thesis that's popped up. This intelligence within the game says, you know, yeah, they're trying to find an arc. They're trying to figure out the most effective way to tell this story. But people don't move in arcs. People move in circles. And so you're going through the cycles of this game from where it's at now to its very earliest phase as like this super down-resed first-person shooter that's like a System Shock but supposed to be multiplayer. And you're kind of reading the chat logs of the devs, and you're hearing audio logs and commentary about the way this project is just utterly broken because the person behind it is a megalomaniac who is very fickle and doesn't really complete things. And so in that way, like it's a little bit like a different angle on the Stanley Parable, insofar as it's not about the relationship between a player and the game. It's about the relationship between the creator and their game. And you're kind of like inserted in the middle of it. But when I say that it has gameplay to it, the hook is that as you're running around, you have a console that lets you control the attributes of the different enemies and creatures that you find. So when you see one, you can trap it by clicking on it and holding. And then you go into like this little matrix view where you can edit, you know, who its allies are, who its enemies are, what kind of abilities it has. And this is how you do combat. And this is how you, at least so far, solve puzzles. Because you can't really interact with anything directly. But, you know, when you find a corpse in the System Shock world, you can, you know, grab an attribute from from like this door bot. And then it's like a lightning kind of ability, and put it on this walking corpse who can also fight for you because you give it the melee ability from before. And then you give him the lightning ability, and now he can open doors for you as he follows you around.
Huh.
And this goes down to like the way that it moves. You can make things fly, and you kind of collect these different verbs and these different attributes as you go on.
That sounds really original. I like that.
Yeah, like I'm startled by the inventiveness that this game shows. And like, I really love stuff that's meta and up its own ass. So, you know, take that with a bit of a grain of salt. Like, maybe the narrative wouldn't be for you, but like, I'll immediately go in for anything that's about the difficulties of creativity. And yeah, like this is super delightful. I've only played like an hour and a half, 2 hours of it, but it's, you know, a relatively brief game. But like, even so far, it is really kind of caught me off guard with how inventive this whole attribute changing kind of thing is, because it makes you feel like a developer a little bit, you know, insofar as you're kind of messing around with these variables. But it presents this in this super intuitive way, where, you know, you just kind of have a character sheet for all of it, is for all of these different creatures, and you're collecting these things that you can assign to these character sheets like items. Almost they're like part of your inventory.
Cool.
The narrative sounds like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless video game.
That's a really good thing, because like you can see points where like the creator, where Dr. Venture either had passion for this, or, you know, like put more of himself into it, and just where things are kind of like ebbing and flowing between genuine artistic vision and complete control freakness. You know, like just like how much of this principle that he's showing is actually just because of the way that he is, as opposed to something he really wants to make. And the different times that he burned it all down only to rebuild it, but with all these themes that are kind of through lines throughout it, are it's really satisfying to kind of put that together. And, you know, it's showing it to you, like, there is a sequence, there's an element of walking simulator to this. And I'm not using that in a pejorative term, but like, those are generally pretty linear affairs, but they're exposing this to you in a really satisfying way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What was the name of the game again?
The Magic Circle. Yeah, it's super cheap. It's available on like Mac and PC and all that. I don't know if it's a console thing, but yeah, I really, really enjoy it.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's all. Besides laser tag.
Yeah. Laser tag might as well be a video game.
Yeah. It's a real life video game.
The only real game where you can ruin a child's day.
That's my favorite game.
Do you want to button it up?
Buttons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The credit. That was level number 135. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. This year is in full swing. We mentioned the Slack channel a lot, and if you're unsure of how to gain access to that, or, you know, even what that is part of our Patreon reward. So if you back us at $2 a month, that goes in, and you gain access to this really cool kind of chat room that we have. Think of it like IRC if you're old school, but it's divided up by show and by topic. We have a co-op channel. We have a channel for exchanging games, movies and TV, different kinds of media, different kind of topical things, and then games and life. And everybody there is super cool. Like, it's occasionally remarked upon, but it's a little bit one of the most positive places on the internet.
Oh, for sure.
For you know, at least for this small group of 200 to 300 people. We're super grateful for that, and we would love to have you if that sounds like something you would enjoy. And that is at duckfeed.tv/Patreon. And then I'll repeat that that PO box. Duckfeed.tv or Cole Ross at PO Box 27105 at Cincinnati, Ohio 45227. Yeah, and that'll be on all the stuff there. But there's all the usual stuff too: ratings, reviews, iTunes, telling friends. Am I forgetting anything, fellas or lady?
No, that sounds good to me.
By the witness.
I mean, they're not paying us. I don't want to show for it. Like, I would rather play it and then bring it back to people and say whether or not. But like, it's weird that that's coming out in a week. I don't know.
Yeah. So wait a couple weeks until we give a review on it, and then maybe buy the witness.
Yeah. Only trust us. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah. We're like the Walter Cronkite of podcasting.
but until next time, I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
Jalachan in places.
I've been Ben Merkle at Merkleizer on Twitter.
And stick around to listen for some titles. So have I told you guys that I'm keeping track of the alternate titles? I put that on the Slack, so you probably
mentioned
saw
it last week. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that that is a thing. That's I've got an Airtable that I'm filling in with all of the episode data. But all of these are not going to waste.
Are we gonna do a Toadie and Toadie next year?
Almost title of the year.
Yeah, I was gonna go for alternate, but I like almost. Yeah.
does anybody have one they want to throw in?
Sure. Ice Fractals.
Okay.
And also Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Video Game.
Okay.
I wrote down Douchey Fingerless Affair, talking about the Nintendo Glove. The Angriest and Unhinged of Us. One of Three Doofuses. Biscuit Gravy Unit. Clear ice cubes, and that's it.
My God, you wrote down all the things. You were so active.
It's good.
You made up for me this week.
I just have to say one of three doofuses was pretty good.
Dennis, how about you?
No, I didn't have anything to add to those.
Okay. And then I had 365 Days of Nightscape, Ben's Bizarre Things, Three Doofuses Sharing a Body, and then Ice Fractals. I had Ice Fractals, too.
I had Ice Fractals as well. Yeah.
Wow, this is probably the most titles we've had.
Yeah,
that's because Ben was all over
it.
Yeah,
Ben, you were on point, man. I don't even know where to start with this. So between Three Doofuses Sharing a Body and what is it, One of Three Doofuses, which one do we prefer?
The one that made me laugh, the One of Three Doofuses, I think.
Yeah, okay. Of the two of those, One of Three Doofuses.
Okay. So yeah, let's see there.
I feel like I should abstain of voting and you should vote against it so that you could be one of three doofuses voting against Adelaide. Whatever.
Neat.
I like that title and I like Ice Fractal, so I'm fine with either of those.
So Ice Fractal popped up on all three of our list. One of Three Doofuses sounds way too similar to Quarter to Third Mons.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And Ice Fractals was the more fun tangent for the episode.
Yeah. I'm good
like
with that.
Ben's Bizarre Things. Ben gets into the titles a lot.
I like Ben titles, but here's the thing. I don't want to overuse them.
We
did a Ben title around this time last year, and I want to kind of surprise them.
I'm like cinnamon, not too much. Just
a touch. Just
like
a touch
cinnamon.
Of Ben. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ice Fractals it is.
Ice Fractals. Okay, cool. Good night, everybody. I've had a good time, and I'm going to go to bed.
Hold on.
What?